Welcome to our Bible study, the book of the Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies. A study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse, so we can easily go back to the verse in question. Let us begin with a prayer. Holy, faithful Father in heaven, we thank thee that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. We are thankful for him, that we can have eternal life. Man is desperately seeking for answers and the solutions to life's problems, and for a more abundant life. But we know that Christ alone is the answer, and it is his life more abundantly. It is eternal life. We praise thee that we have thy word. Father, forgive us where we have been slothful in our studying of the word. Father, we ask for thy blessings again as we continue looking into thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see where we're at here. We're still in Matthew. We're still in chapter 9. We're picking up towards the tail end of it, I believe, now. I believe we've looked at the dumb man. I don't recall whether we did that. Let me take a quick look. Let me just read from 27 through 34. And I know we need to look at possessed with the devil. I'll get more details on that. But let me see if we got anything here on the dumb man. Yeah, we did do that, to speak, to preach. To speak is to bring God's word to the lost. And if we're dumb, we're unable to do that. Again, all of these different cures that Christ had performed on these individuals always have that spiritual picture, you know, that to be dumb is to be unable to bring forth the true gospel. You know, to be blind is unable to see Christ and who he is and his word, and so on. Let's just read through Matthew 9, verse 27 through 34. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. We saw two identified with the church. Blind is unable to see truth. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to thy faith be it unto you. And we, of course, ultimately, Christ is our faith. It's faith to faith. It's because of his faith that we have faith. It's because he dwells within our hearts that gives us the faith that we have. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man knoweth it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought him to a dumb man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out the devil through the prince of the devils. I'm not too sure. I don't think we did these verses. Do you recall if we did these verses, Eric, down here, referring to casting out through the devil? I mean, yeah, casting out the devil through the prince of devils.
I don't remember it in this study that we're doing on this book. No.
Okay, we're going to read through that in a minute. I'm trying to think on whether we should. Well, let's go look at. We've got a lot to look at in possessed with the devil, because it is a lot to be understood and appreciated by someone who is possessed with a devil that is healed, and someone who is not possessed, or God doesn't mention that they're possessed with a devil. So we're going to spend a lot of time with that. So before we do that, let's look at comparing some scriptures concerning what we're reading here. In Luke 11, chapter 11, verses 14, we read, "And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb man spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casted out devil through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And another tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall the kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he come, shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they entered in and dwell there, when the last state of that man is worse than the first." Now, I think this really is identifying with this particular last part of this picture. Of course, this is more added information. When we look at Luke 11 and we look at Matthew 9 and we bring it together, we have the whole account of what took place there. And of course, we have also other Gospels. We got Matthew, of course, we got Mark, and of course, we have Luke here, and we also have John. So we'll see if any others were reporting of this incident. But what is interesting is God's given us a picture. When unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh about dry places, seeking whom rest, and findeth none. And he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came. And I think that's kind of a picture of when someone comes into the hearing of the word of God. They may not necessarily be saved, and God may have no intentions of saving that individual, but they're coming in and they're under the hearing. And I think that's a picture of an individual who has come unto the hearing, but then departs out and continues on his old ways from his new ways. And again, the Spirit enters back into them. Either we are part of the kingdom of God or we are part of the kingdom of Satan. God speaks of those of us who are sanctified. You know, if your spouse is not necessarily unsaved but is coming under the hearing, and your children are coming under the hearing, they're sanctified, some of which may be saved and some of which may not become saved. But I think it's an important picture to make clear here, because we're going to look a little deeper into this kind of a thinking when we go back to look at the devils being possessed of devils. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And we know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little hypocrisy, it brings a hypocrisy upon the whole lump. Of course, that is the picture. And it's the leaven that they bring into the bread of life, the word of God, the gospel. "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." And of course, the closet is the idea of going inward into your secret place, where only you and God spend the time and have your communications, or you have your communications with the things of this world. "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast ye into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the messengers or the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall never be forgiven. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about that a little later. And when they when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And I do think that is very much focusing in on the end of the world, the hour of judgment. In 1 hour, when the widow is made, not the widow, but let's see, in 1 hour, yes, the picture we see in Revelation, which of course is the harlot, that's what I'm looking for, the picture of the harlot. 1 hour she made desolate, mystery Babylon. And we've looked into that in the book of Revelation in an earlier study. And anybody interested in that, they can go into the Revelation study. But this picture of what will be given you, okay, well, where are we going to get what we ought to say? Of course, that means we've been spending time in the Bible, meditating on God's word, and God is preparing us for that time. And I think this also applies to any place where a church goes apostate. Of course, God is referring back to the great apostasia, but I think he's also referring back to a church that may go apostate throughout, and churches have gone apostate throughout the New Testament era. Example, of course, of the seven churches of Asia we read about in the book of Revelation. All seven of those churches don't exist anymore. Okay, 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they be of God. Because, now this is an interesting picture, and it's very important for people to realize what's being said here. Trying the spirit. How do you try the spirits? You know, if you're born again and you're looking at the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept, and you come to an understanding on how to interpret the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and you find people bringing in their own gospel, their own thoughts, their own conclusions, conclusions coming from the world or from inside other individual. That's where the problem exists, and that's how we try the spirits, whether they be of God. In conversation, you know, Paul spoke of a situation one time when he spoke of those who have come in to spy out our liberty. And he said, in conference, they added nothing unto me. So he had conference with them. He had conversation. And he tried the spirits, whether they are of God, and saw that they were not. So that's a good example for us. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, what flesh is God speaking about? On the one level, we can see the flesh being within the individual. But on another level, we see the flesh being in the body of Christ totality, in its totality, and within a particular corporate church, bringing forth the gospel, or maybe even outside of the corporate church. But if they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh as of God, so in other words, they would be in agreement, and I think we're going to see this picture build up a little bit here, they're going to be in agreement with what is true and what you do know is true. They will be in agreement with that because God has come into the flesh, into the people, into the body of Christ. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Where have you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he, Christ, in the flesh, that is in you, than he that is in the world. Are they of the world, or are they of Christ? So we should be able to recognize that over time in conference. They are of the world, therefore they speak this, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So they bring worldly things in. And that's the that's a picture of the flesh spotted the covering or the corporate body spotted by the flesh. They are the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. You see how they're in conflict with what we know that is true, that we know is the word of God. He that is not of God heareth not us. They're in conflict. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Who in this fashion ever, the word so means in this fashion, for whosoever or who in this fashion ever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he dwelleth. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So again, this picture of fear, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And that, of course, is in Proverbs. And we come in fear. We are to work out our salvation with great fear and trembling. But at some point in time when we become born again, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out that fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, not made perfect in Christ, at least not yet. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is the liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And as Christ said, you know, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And keeping his commandments is knowing all the commandments, from Genesis, the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelations. And we can spend our entire life in that Bible and never come to the complete depthness of God's Word. So he has given us a place to dwell. Okay, before we pick up and continue in Matthew 9, which we'll be picking up at 35, I want to go back here now that we've looked at some of these different books to give us a little more information and an understanding. Let's go back and look at Possessed with a Devil. To be vexed or possessed with a devil. This particular phrase in the Greek is used 12 times. I don't believe I've found it at all in the Old Testament. So it comes up about 12 times. And it identifies with man's condition before being saved. But I do think that there is a situation, for instance, there is Jacob, and there is Israel. Of course, Jacob and Esau, who are brothers, twins, okay, and Jacob, of course, went one direction. He was eventually become a child of God, but he was Jacob, and his name was changed to Israel, And there was a picture of him becoming born again. You know, we also have the picture of Esau, you know, and that of course brings us to the picture of a lot of the different nations in the Middle East. But our focus, of course, is on Israel. Now, God speaks about Jacob, speaks about Israel, and those who cleave to Jacob. Now, those who cleave to Jacob are under the hearing. They're sanctified, okay? And God may be merciful upon them, and they may become a Jacob. And then Jacob, of course, becomes born again at some point, and they become Israel. Israel is my son. So we have to realize the picture of those three groups, and I think that will give us a better understanding of a picture of those who are possessed with the devil. And I think we're going to draw that out as we look at these verses here. There's quite a few verses to look at that we want to compare scripture with scripture to see if we can come to this conclusion that I'm offering. And the conclusion I'm offering is this, is that Israel is my son. The devil has already been cast out of him. Because he's part of the kingdom of God. He's part of the body of Christ. Jacob, also same situation, is under the hearing. And he, too, is also probably not possessed with a devil. And I think we're going to see a lot of pictures of that. At one time in his life, he might have been. He might have been, you know, more like those who are want to cleave to Jacob. And those who want to cleave to Jacob is a picture of worldly people. And many of them will be the individuals that have devils within them. And a devil, you know, again, is the spirit. Anybody that is unsaved ultimately has the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of this world, okay? But again, when we become born again, we're transferred into the kingdom of God, into the eternal kingdom, where now the spirit of Christ dwells in us. So let's, when we think about that, I think we can harmonize that kind of a thinking here as we look at these different verses. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he sought other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, this idea of mending their nets, remember, the net is a picture of the gospel, you know, the ship being a picture of the church, the sea being a picture of the world, and making us fishers of men. The gospel net is thrown out into the world and brings in the fish, and then the bad is cast out, and the good is brought to the other side, eventually to the other side, the land. So this idea of mending their nets, I believe, is a picture of really studying God's word, working things out in the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken of various diseases. The word divers is in the old, is really the word various, many or various diseases, and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Okay, so we have this picture of people with many diseases. I want to see throughout the Gospels as we continue in our study that there's often when God, you know, cures an individual of a particular disease, that doesn't mention the fact that he was casting out a devil or they were possessed with a devil. Okay, but and let's continue to look at some of the pictures and maybe we can develop that a little more. Matthew 8, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose, and she ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye afraid, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obeys him? Now, there's a lot on here to unpack, and we're not going to particularly do that at the moment. And we have looked at some of this already, because we're in Matthew chapter 8. But what's an interesting picture, of course, that's here, is this picture of the wind. You know, God speaks of the different winds of many doctrines. And this idea of a wind or a storm in the sea, and the sea, of course, is the world, and this great wind coming around is another doctrine. We read often that the wind is contrary. I don't think it said that here in this one. No, it hasn't. But there's another place where we read it was the wind was contrary to them. In other words, it's against the way that they're going. So again, the wind, many winds of doctrines identify with the doctrines of this world, the doctrines of the kingdom of Satan, the doctrines of Satan, ultimately. Okay, so then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was a great calm. And they marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that the winds, even the winds of the sea and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the let me see if we get an enunciation on that particular word.
Gerg's NS. Gerg's NS.
That's hard to really pronounce. Gerg's. Anyway, they met him too possessed with the devil. And I do believe we looked at this before, because again, it's in Matthew. And two, we saw identified with the church, but these were people that were possessed with the devil. So it's our condition before we become born again, generally speaking. Okay, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they came out, and went on to the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that had kept them fled, and went their way into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their post. Now, again, we've already looked at this, and we saw that picture. And of course, Jesus tells those possessed with the devil to stay, because they wanted to go with him. They said, no, stay. And he sent them back into the city. And the next time they came over, apparently they were preaching the gospel, and the people came out to meet them. And again, we did look at that. But this idea of the two possessed of the devil, I think, has given us a picture of those people who are in the corporate church that are coming under the hearing of the Word of God. But they're coming out of the tombs, but they're about to come under the hearing. And of course, coming out of the tombs, of course, is identifying with being dead, spiritually dead. Okay, Matthew 9, verse 27, we're not going to read through that because we're looking at that and it's possessed with the devils. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And of course, that is a picture of the fact that the gospel is getting ready to go out unto the Gentiles. Remember, Paul's ministry was to go out into Asia unto the Gentiles, which represented approximately 90% of the population of the world. So that was the gospel going out into the world, and he developed seven churches bringing forth the word of God in Asia. Okay, and again, that identifies with the churches throughout the church age. Mark 1:29, and forthwith when they came out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And a nun they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And again, that's a picture, this idea of fire, that judgment was still upon her, and again, a picture of really being saved through the Word of God, through Christ. Now, of course, the main thing here is the picture that the fever identifies with that idea of being under the judgment of God, to be the idea of fire. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. There it is again. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of various diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Now we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. This was talking about Stephen at that time. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed. And again, I think that the picture of where, the spirit of Antichrist is in everyone that is not born again, because either the spirit of God or the spirit of Antichrist, one or the other, the spirit of the kingdom of Satan. But this idea or this picture of an unclean spirits and these people being possessed, I think is really a picture of, again, giving us that picture of those who want to cleave to Jacob. Because Jacob, of course, is still unsaved. You know, we're all with Jacobs, and Jacob is still unsaved until he's transferred into the kingdom of light. In other words, he's changed his name to Israel, and Israel is my son, so we become sons of God. But again, this diseases and different ailments that are upon many people, we're going to see another picture in contrast to this in a minute, but it identifies ultimately with something a little different in the sense that it's for the glory of God. The point is that because an individual has a disease or has a situation, doesn't mean that they're of the kingdom of Satan. And I think God is going to make that clear in the contrast of what we're going to look at in the Gospel of John. So let's look at John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see the attitude or the idea that they were thinking. And they might have got this idea. I don't know if they got this idea, and as a Jew had that idea for, you know, since they, you know, were coming under the hearing of the Word of God, which would be mostly the Old Testament. And I don't think that's the case. It may have been because they're seeing what Jesus is doing and talking about casting out devils. So now they're trying to figure this out, you know, with this individual. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Is this man a special sinner because he's blind? If there's something about it, because he's got some ailment? But Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. And that's the key. You know, there are people that have become born again and Christians, and they have terrible, you know, afflictions of one type or another, maybe being a paraplegic and so on and so forth. But they're very, very, you know, devoted to Christ, and they use that as their witness for Christ. And that's the picture of what's really being drawn up here in John chapter 9. So we have to be very careful as we think of these things, you know, to say that a devil is inside somebody or they're unsaved because of an illness or something. So let me get back here. So Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. So there's a purpose for this. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he hath thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle. You know, he is the potter and we are the clay. And we read about that in the Old Testament. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And this idea of washing in the pool, of course, is identifying with the water of the gospel. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this the he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was at Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doeth he now see? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who had opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogues. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye do not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and doest thou teach us? See how they referred to the fact that because he was blind, that he was a sinner, and that he was less than them, separate from them? Thou was altogether born in sin, and doest thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Doest thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that is talketh with thee. And he saith, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am not come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word. And by the way, Jesus is the door. He's the way, the truth, the light. If no man comes to the Father unless he comes through him, he's the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And this idea of being born of four, of course, is carried by four, is a picture, and four is universality, and it's a picture of bringing someone unsaved before the Lord and praying for that individual, that they too might become born again, that they may respond to the gospel. And that's the picture here of the one being sick of the palsy, unable to do anything. He can't walk with God. He can't reach forth maybe to eat off the tree of life and so on. And God said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, it means much to God. And a righteous man is one who is born again, because it's not us that's righteous. It's Christ that is righteous, who dwells within us. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed therein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? And by the way, you know, when Christ was ready to go to the cross, and he was in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was filled with many, many people, they were coming from all over. All the Jews came together from all the lands for the purpose of the Passover. And one of the things Christ said very clearly to them, we'll cover this when we get to that, he said that caused them to get very angry, and that was the final decision, we got to kill this guy. He said, I am Jehovah. But we'll look at that when we get there. So when the Jesus saw their let me see where we're at. Okay, and they led him down the bed to the sick of the palsy. They break open the roof. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Thy son, thy sins shall be forgiven. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And then, of course, we just read this. They were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their heart, Why doeth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whither is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins, he saith, and now he's saying he's God, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thy house. And immediately he arose, took on up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Okay, next picture here is in Matthew 9:1. We'll read through it. This is the last one. We're going to be looking at this. And we already did look at this, but we're going to read this now anyway. Matthew 9:1, And he entered into the ship and passed over and came unto his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And again, behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye the evil in your hearts? For whither is easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he, the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed from the house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which was given such power unto men. Okay, so we have pictures of people being healed, and in some cases God refers to them being, you know, the devil is within them. And the devil works in some people more than they do others. I mean, there are some evil people in this world. And then there are people that are just bad, of course, and we're all sinners, we all have problems. But again, there are some people that are really evil. No doubt that the devil is working with inside those people. But again, sometimes people, you know, I look to my own life and knowing that at some point, of course, that I had become born again. And I can see that God was with me through that time, even when I was unsaved. Many times I might have or should have or wanted to do something and was prevented from doing it or this or that. In other words, I never really got very deep into the evils that I was around. And I was around a lot of evil growing up in the city where I come from. But nevertheless, the point is that God works in the lives of the people that are going to become born again even before they become born again. We have been saved ultimately from before the foundation of the world. Christ died from before the foundation of the world, because in the mind of Christ, he knew exactly who was going to become born again who he is going to forgive, and what our eternities would be, and so on. Okay, so this picture of being possessed with the devil, of course, we have to be very careful. We saw that the disciples made the mistake of assuming something that was not true. The Pharisees, I think it was the Pharisees, also made the same thing, the rulers anyway, also made the same mistake, thinking, wow, this man is much less than us. He's blind. He's a sinner. He's not of us. Also you have the picture of leprosy, okay? And I think we've already seen some pictures of leprosy. If we haven't, we will be. And of course, that having that leprosy is definitely a picture of sin. But that doesn't mean the people that had leprosy back then were sinners. Although, you know, they had to cry out along the road, unclean, unclean, if people were passing by when they were passing by the same way. But again, that whole picture is really identifying with the sin of all mankind. We're all spiritually lepers. We're all spiritually blind. We're all spiritually unable to reach forth to eat off the tree of life. We're all spiritually unable to walk with God until we become born again. So this is the pictures, of course, of all of these different illnesses. Okay. Okay, so let me see what time it is. Okay, we're going to read a little more here, and we're not get too deep because we're coming up to the end of our program here today. But let's at least read what we're going to be picking up on. See, where are we? We're in 9:27, the two blind, where we saw all that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And I should take a look at this word sickness. Maybe I'll do that, and maybe we'll bring it up next time we come together. And the difference between sickness and disease, there may be a spiritual difference here. But I'm not sure. But anyway, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, this idea of fainting, you know, God tells us to maintain on to the end. And the idea of fainting really is sort of fainting in going back into the world ultimately. That's the spiritual picture anyway. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Okay, this picture in John gives us an interesting picture of what's going on here. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth into by the door, Christ is that door, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have life more than they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leapeth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, of course, that other fold, of course, is the New Testament. You have the Old Testament, which is one fold, the New Testament, which is another fold, and yet it is one fold. And this idea that we had read, let me just make a mark here so I can not forget what I meant. This idea that we read here, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And that harvest starts right now, ultimately, I think is the picture right here with Christ bringing the gospel, but definitely when he ascends unto the Father and he gives us the commission, go ye out into all the world and bring the gospel. It's not just the scribes or the Pharisees that did that, in other words, the leadership in the church, but all Christians do this. We're all laborers. We're all sent forth into the harvest to gather up that which God is going to save, to bring in the wheat, separating it from the tares. Okay, so I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these saying, and many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Okay, so that brings us to the end of that. And again, you know, I've thought about this idea of someone being possessed with the devil, and I think the picture I'm offering, this idea I'm offering, is the solution. But anyway, we're going to pick back up on our study next week, picking up in Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Okay, with that, we'll come to the end of our study. Good night, and Lord willing, see you next week.
Good night.